And welcome back to the Film Reel cast. We'll be doing things in reverse here, and we're starting with Rush Hour 3 and hopefully ending with Rush Hour 1. With me is me, obviously, and Stu and Neil. How's it going, guys?
Good.
How are you doing?
Great. I'm good. All happy.
That's the most positive I'll be the whole of this podcast now. Ooh. Rush Hour. Oh, my God. Wow.
Don't give it away.
Pardon?
Don't give it away yet. You know, come on. Play those cards close to your chest if you possibly can.
Yeah.
Mate, this I'm sorry, yeah? This film makes Jaws 4 The Revenge look like fucking Citizen Kane, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see going forward.
Deary me. This will obviously contain plot spoilers. I just want to say, thanks to Rav, who fixed my computer. He is an absolute legend, that man. Honestly, he spent 5 hours trying to work out what was wrong with it, and he did it. So,
what was wrong with it, Stu?
One of the RAM processors just was faulty for some reason. It just would boot up the computer, and he spent ages taking a hard drive out, taking various parts out, and he did it. And I was thinking, that was it.
Yeah, I was going to say... That's what problem. When you get the achievement completing Pornhub,
that's
what happens. It destroys your RAM.
I would say Pornhub, but it is probably that horse porn that he likes.
Oh dear! All I can say is pot kettle and black from the You Young Neil. Deary me. Yeah. Anyway.
How dare you sully my name like that? How dare you?
Okay, so. The reason why we're doing this the other way around, which is an original idea, is that we were going to do number one, but we want James on the podcast because he's like the font of all knowledge.
Mate, I'm not.
He used to do wrestling, a form of martial arts.
It's true. It's true. This.
And so we're doing it backwards. We will do all of them at some point, but to be honest, it's a film, so that's just what we do. So it really doesn't matter. But Rush Hour 3, 2007, Rush Hour 2, 2001, Rush Hour 1 in 1998. So, I mean, when you look at the difference in the budgets of these films, the first one was $33 million and it made $244 million. The second one was $90 million and it made $347
million. Nice.
And this last one, the budget for that, as it always does in these films, it was $140 million and it made $258 million.
Really?
So, this was the most expensive and probably the most successful. So, was it Jackie Chan got $15 million and Chris Tucker got $25 million doing this?
Yeah,
who got more?
Chris Tucker. Well, oh God, $25 million.
Yeah, Brett Ratner, the director, got $7.5 million, and he did all three of them, and also Rosh Lamana, who's the writer, he did all three of them as well. So you got good continuity there.
Yeah, I know. And there's three people other than Jackie Chan that should be sacked. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, if Chris Tucker getting $25 million, then Rush Hour 3 is the definition of theft, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, because he was so bad. He was so bad in this film. I mean, to be fair, I was trying to be positive, I was going to introduce the podcast. I like Rush Hour series. I like 1 and 2. Did like number 3 because something that rhymes with Miss Fucker. But no. Chris Tucker is the worst thing about this film. He's the cancer in Rush Hour 3. He's absolutely horrendous. And I can't wait to destroy every scene he's in. Because I really like Chris Tucker. And when I saw this, I don't know. I'm not being funny. I'd rather be licking up my own vomit from the kitchen floor than see any scenes with him. He completely ruins the film. But we'll get into it.
So you feel that strong, honestly?
I couldn't stand it. What I didn't understand is I've seen number one, obviously not recently, which is why we're doing this. And he was really good number one and number two. I don't know why it just really got to me in this one. He plays once again a caricature of Chris Tucker. He's just there's too much of him, and it's just not funny. I didn't laugh. Anything in this film, I didn't find it funny at all. I don't know why. I'm not. Wow. Maybe I've got a hormone imbalance. Or
maybe have you emptied your glands recently? Is that what it is?
Yes. There we go. You hit the nail on the head.
Okay. Yeah. I did wonder.
But there we go.
I'm honestly really surprised. I'm really really surprised.
I think this is supposed to be a caricature of Chris Tucker, though.
It is, but it's too. He's like almost at 100%, 100% of the time when he's in. There's no like in the number one and number two, there was kind of like a bit of letdown. He wasn't as whatever like that all the time from what I remember. And here, he just feels like he's in your face. But what makes it worse is the writing and the jokes are just not very funny. What liked about number one and two, I think the storyline and the characters and the chemistry they had, especially number one, got you invested. And here, I just didn't care. It was just kind of a by-the-numbers film. I understand why it did well at the box office. I don't know, when you look at all three, whether this is the worst one on any Metacritic or review scores or whatever. I'm not sure. But
it's going to make it interesting then. I mean, shall I read the storyline very briefly?
Only take you about 10 seconds, but yeah.
I'll read a very, very short one version. After an attempted assassination on Ambassador Han, Lee and Carter go to Paris to protect a woman with the knowledge of the Triads, their secret leaders. That is it, because if I had to give you too much, it will ruin the plot and the twists within the plot. So
really?
Yeah. So you have got Chris Tucker playing Carter, Jackie Chan playing Lee, Max von Sydow playing Reinhard, and other people who I cannot pronounce because I am ignorant. But you've got Kenji, who plays the baddie and is he's kind of like a half brother of Jackie Chan.
Kenny G.
I used to think his name was Jackie, and I don't know why, because people used to say Jackie Chan, but I didn't realize it was Jackie. I thought it was like a French Jackie. And it was only until I was about 12 that I realized that it wasn't. So
it is indeed Jackie Chan. Right.
Yeah. So
he's also fluent in French.
He's fluent in loads of languages, apparently.
Yeah,
he's a very, very clever guy. And he also speaks Japanese.
Yeah, he does, because in some of these scenes, apparently, they speak Japanese rather than Chinese.
Very interesting.
Interesting. And another little fact for you.
Go for it. I love factoids.
Well, yeah, a little factoid is that apparently the crew agreed a $20 fine anytime anyone swore. Anytime the cell phone rang during shooting.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave to a homeless charity, which was quite nice.
$600.
$600. Does that redeem Israel Jones at all?
Not really. No. Poor homeless people. Not when bloody Chris Tucker stole $25 million from the production company.
Fair enough, to be fair. No, I can't argue with that.
But that is nice, though. I mean, but then again, when you look at everyone getting all that money, $600 is not even a drop in the ocean, is it? It wouldn't even be a ripple, would it? But that is nice, I guess.
Do you know another interesting fact?
Go for it.
About this, from 1998 to 2012, Chris Tucker, his only acting roles were Rush Hour.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do anything else with that money, did he?
No. So that's interesting. Loads of actors normally do quite a lot between films, but he didn't do anything. So.
He got 15 million from the first one, 20, then 25. So,
unbelievable.
Oh my gosh.
So where does everyone stand on Jackie Chan with regards to his films, his acting, or where is everyone?
He's a one-trick pony, isn't he? He's a very good pony.
Are we talking about Chris Tucker or Jackie Chan?
Jackie Chan.
Okay.
He's good at what he does, which is try to be funny and do lots of martial arts and very good choreography.
Do you like
his films? You're right, but...
Sorry, Shu?
Do you like his films? Do you watch his films at all?
I don't go out of my way to watch them, no. These are probably the only three that I would have done. Rush Hour series is probably my favourite, but he's done lots of others. And yeah. I'm going to have to look them up. That's how much I sort of remember what they are. Shanghai Noon or Dawn or whatever it was. And I can be honest, no.
No, what about you, Jay?
I really like him. I can't, when Neil says he's a one-trick pony, really hard to defend, albeit those two. You might be able to answer this one. I've always wanted to watch The Foreigner with him in it, but I haven't got around to it because that looks like a more serious film.
It's a brilliant film.
Okay. And he's not really playing Jackie Chan in that, is he?
Not at all. He's a really, really good film. Definitely recommend that film. We could review that film. I mean, it is so good. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect when I watched it. But
no, nor would I.
It's a really serious Jackie Chan.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's the exception then, isn't it? Because that'd be interesting. Because I was completely on board with Neil. He's a one-trick pony. What he does is very good. I think the biggest shame for Jackie Chan is he didn't really come to the Western world as such until he was kind of in his, don't say not twilight, but in the evening, let's say, of his career. So we didn't really see his best stuff when it came to the stunts and things, which you then need to go, obviously, you know, to the Hong Kong films.
Yeah, I mean, he came in, he was, because the first time I remember seeing him was in Cannonball Run in 1981.
Oh, indeed, yes. He was. Yeah.
And
obviously,
and I was really impressed with all the martial arts he did then, and they got him back for Cannonball Run 2. It was one of the Mitsubishi guys, and that's when I first saw him, but I went back, I had a stage of watching the Police Story films.
Rumble in the Bronx as well.
He did some really, really good films, and he did Drunken Master as well, which was the style that they say that he actually did the karate in, which is very clumsy, or his kung fu in.
That's such a good film. That film, I think, made him, as in terms of, maybe not in the Western world, but I think that a lot of people see that as the one film, like his breakthrough film, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he's done over 130 films. He's done some really, really good films. And yeah, it is all martial arts, but you are going to play to your strengths. I mean, look at Chris Tucker. He's done really well, like him or hate him, playing to his strengths, which is having that really strange voice and just being a little bit kind of weird. And that's like a lot of actors, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, of course it is.
You kind of play to what you're good at. And if you're getting paid millions for it, then fair enough. But yeah, I mean, Jackie Chan hasn't done the best of films, but he must be doing something right, because he's been consistent, especially in the West, where, I mean, for Karate Kid and different things like that, that he's done really well. And I think he was in, what was that, the other one, the Tuxedo as well, which the kids liked. So he can kind of play different roles, but I'm so pleased that he did The Foreigner, because that proved to everyone that he can take on really serious roles that don't involve martial arts. And he still does a few of his own stunts in it, but it isn't the wacky kind of slapstick kung fu at all. It's quite a serious film. But yeah, definitely recommend that. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it still is.
When was he in The Foreigner? When was that?
2017.
Yeah, 2000. Oh,
was it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cracking film. Really good.
Oh, so, yeah, there it is. Yeah, I'm struggling to still see Foreigner. I've not seen it, so I'll have to look out for that.
Yeah, very, very good. Totally recommend that. But I love these films. Are great. The first one, I watched the first one quite a few times to review it, and I didn't watch the second one, but they're all pretty much the same. And you know who's going to be the bad guy. The first one, you knew who was the bad guy.
Instantly,
just knew who was a bad guy. They just kind of, it's like rewrapping the same present, isn't it?
It was this one, definitely. It was exactly the same, pretty much the same thing, completely just set in Paris.
Yeah, and I think this one's set, what is it, 6 years, 3 years after the last one. But not that there's really any kind of continuity, as in they kind of have an effect or a knock-on effect like the MCU or something. But at the start of this, I enjoyed. I mean, I know James is going to fucking hate it, but just Chris Tucker, I find him quite amusing. I used to hate him in Fifth Element. Hated him, but in this, when he's standing there directing traffic, dancing, just being a dick, I was laughing out loud.
See, I'm the opposite. I liked him in Fifth Element. I thought it was quite interesting. Here, he's just a dickhead in a police uniform. I thought, listening to it, I mean, I get it. The problem I have is watching the first. I haven't seen the first one for a while, but it was like, where the first one, I think the first one, albeit it's a comedy, is a lot more grounded, as in like. Here, I had to really suspend my disbelief as if I was watching Peter Pan. This one, the first one, I was like, I kind of accepted a lot more. And here, it just started off. Yeah, you're right, Stuart. It did annoy me. It's, you know, the way he's dancing around, and then it's just really, really silly. And yeah, it got me off on the wrong, on the wrong foot. It basically pissed all my strawberries straight away before the film even started, if I'm honest. And it didn't get any better.
Had you seen this one before?
No, funnily enough, I hadn't seen Rush Hour 3. I had seen 1 and 2, but not 3.
Wow. What about yourself, Neil?
Yeah, I have to kind of agree with James, to be honest. I didn't find it funny. I see why they did it, but no, I didn't find it funny. I found it annoying. And I just, the problem with me is I think I liken it to real life. And if some copper was doing that, I'd just run him over.
Because
it might be because I'm on test. So fuck off. Direct it properly, don't do it at all.
That's why I'm so happy being on annual leave. That's probably the reason why I'm just loving everything at the moment.
I ran over's harsh. I wouldn't, but I would just drive past him and say, fuck off, mate. I'm not waiting for you to dance me across the road. And then, of course, it goes wrong and everyone starts crashing their cars because he's so shit at his job.
I mean, there are so many ways you could have filmed that better than him not being shit at his job. Confusing, something happened, he had to wave his arms around, or even a bloody wasp or a bee getting in. Something other than that, because it was so silly the way it was done.
So I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. He was just dancing in a world of his own, just waving his arms around, and that's it. He just crashes. I didn't need any more than that. I just thought it was funny.
But the problem I have with that is, this guy is a police officer. Yes, it's a comedy, but there has to be some element, because he's a police officer, because he's a detective, and he's trusted to obviously go to Paris. There has to be some element of, you believe this guy, albeit a bit of a, you know, a dork, is professional in some sorts. And at no point in this film do you see anywhere where he would even got through the police force. You know, there's no saving grace to his character in this one. Well, I think the other ones, we can make an argument for. And I think that's the problem I had. And it started, and you never saw that.
So I think that's the joke of it, that he is a joke, and that you can't believe someone like that would be in the police force. And that's why I think it works, because Inspector Lee, Jackie Chan, is very serious, and that Chris Tucker is just an idiot and he wings everything. And that's why I think it's one of the best comedies ever fucking filmed in my life.
mate, I was almost believing, comedy. Along with the 25 million he got paid, I'm not getting over that anytime soon.
I know, it wasn't enough, but it goes to the
mate. Yeah, I'm not being funny. I'm gonna have a stroke during this podcast. And keep going. I'm getting so angry.
Keep it quiet when you do.
If you do, let me know. I'll find a sound effect suitable to. So they go to the World Criminal Court.
Does that even exist in real life? I'm assuming not.
I honestly don't know, to be honest. But Inspector Hart is given a speech about Shasheng. It always reminded me of Shushan from Johnny English. Every time they speak that. But it's, Shasheng is apparently like a myth, but it's a list of 13 or 12, the top triad crime bosses written down. And but then they think Shasheng is a person at the moment.
Okay. And,
so whilst Max von Snyder's given a speech, you instantly know he is the baddie. There is no other way around it, is there? He may as well just have a fucking banner above him saying, "Well, Shadow, I'm the baddie, by the way." Because they always have someone, like in the first one, is exactly the same character. You know, someone of merit, some who's in charge is the baddie. And he was. And when Han gives his speech, he's taken out by a sniper, which, from another side of the building, which leads to what I think is quite a good foot chase. It's mediocre compared to the rest, whether that's down to Chan's age, but it's not a bad foot chase.
That's all right. Some
great stunt work in it. You can see it's Jackie Chan doing it all himself. And I always find this one of the most, or these kind of scenes, like the most entertaining in all of the films, in any of his films, to be honest.
James?
Boy, there's no fucking comment on that, is there? Jesus Christ. James?
No. I'm biting my tongue, guys. I'm bleeding at the moment.
Oh.
I'll let you go, Neil.
It's good. It's all right. It's like, apart from Chris Tucker driving the wrong way down the motorway with two girls that he's stopped and handcuffed prior to this, he managed to get dates out of them, abusive position, and, you know, all that sort of nonsense. It's nonsense, isn't it? But it's it's not bad. You can tell that he's obviously. I don't know how old he must be getting on a bit in this film. How old is he in this film? Because you can tell that these stunts are a lot easier. I'm not saying I could do them by any stretch of the imagination, but when he's climbing down the wall, there always seems to be a quite significant.
I'd say it's
thing
about
that he can put his foot
58,
on.
58, something like 59.
Yeah, fair play to him. So fair play to him. No, it's quite good, but it culminates in that scene where we find out some chap that we don't know who he is yet, do we? Because he chases him down to the end of the alley.
Yeah, you get a rough idea, don't you?
Yeah.
From like when they're talking and the fact that he pulls a gun on him and that Jackie Chan still won't shoot. And to be honest, I don't believe Jackie Chan would shoot anyone. He just doesn't seem that kind of person. He seems the kind of person who'll just stop someone, detain them, and wouldn't, even if he didn't know this guy, shoot him in just cold blood, you know?
No, he's the good guy, isn't he? He's the ultimate good guy.
Yeah, and that just doesn't seem believable. But and that's one. There's a couple of things that really annoyed me in this film, and the fact that he gives him so many chances. I mean, Chris Tucker pulls into the alleyway where he is. I mean, it's a terrific stunt by Jackie Chan where he skips over and that bin would have crushed him.
Mm.
Like two cargo craters nearly killed him in the last one. And that, how many chances will he give this guy? Because he tries to kill Chris Tucker. He tries to kill Jackie Chan. He does that multiple times throughout the film, but he won't kill him at all. And that's just one too many times, you know?
Yeah.
But it did make me laugh. The line he pulls up about the dates and the two females about getting the fat one.
Yeah, you can have the fat one. Yeah.
That really, really made me laugh, I have to say.
I have to say, I did chuckle at that. I did chuckle at that.
I'd like for you to meet our dates for this evening, Marsha and Zoe. Fat one's yours.
There you go. We're getting there. We're breaking that ice, aren't we? James, are you still alive?
Yeah, mate, I'm still alive. Yeah. I mean, you know, there were some scenes that happened. He, you know, the only way he can get women is clearly by handcuffing them. So, there we go.
Is there anything wrong with that? Oh my lord.
Remind me, why? Because my Russian Hour 2 is really, really fat. Why was he back in police clothes? What had he done wrong again? It wasn't at the end of 2, was it? Did something happen between the end of 2 and this one?
I think it was all the things that he did wrong in between.
Okay.
It goes on to sort of explain it, doesn't it, in the next scene when they're in the hospital. And he says, you know, you arrested all those Iranian scientists. And he goes, well, just because they're scientists doesn't mean they can't blow shit up.
Yes.
And stuff like that. So he's
which was a bit sensitive in 2021, isn't it? It's interesting, isn't it? Like you said about Lethal Weapon, there are a few jokes there where you think, but I'm sure we'll get into them. But yeah.
Yeah, but it sort of alluded to the fact that he's done a few things that that's why they busted him down.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now. Yeah, cheers, Neil. Thanks.
Yeah, so you're joined by Sue Young at the hospital, who is like the daughter of the ambassador, and she's... I looked to see if it was the same person from the first one, but it's a different female. And she doesn't really have much of a part to play in this, but what she does tell him is she was worried that this would happen, threats have been made, and she's left some information in a locker room in a kung fu dojo, and they need to go and retrieve this information, and it will give them a clue as to what's going to happen. And that leads them to, when I first watched this, a scene that really, really amused me, and I love stupid humor. And when they go to this kung fu dojo and they obviously want the information from the locker, and they're told you need to wait for the master, Chris Tucker obviously isn't going to do that because he does what he wants to do. And you get that guy, and Jesus Christ, he's got to be about 7-8 foot tall, isn't he?
Oh my gosh, yeah,
he's huge,
he's a monster. And I think the fight they have with him isn't very entertaining, to be honest. It's not fun whatsoever. I mean, you can't do anything with Gungeedra, he's that big.
Well, I think the problem you've got, though, here, is a lot of the fights, until you kind of get to the end, were not that entertaining compared to the other films, and in particular compared to, like, even, you know, Jackie Chan's, some of the other stuff he's done up to this. I didn't feel the fight choreography and what was doing. It was really up to par of what you'd expect in a Jackie Chan film. And for Rush Hour 3, bearing in mind my loose remember, what I loosely remember from the first two. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but...
No, I thought there was less kind of crazy fight scenes in this, like extreme situations for both of them, than there was in any other films. Mm. But I like the comment he made to the kids when he about smacking the puberty out of them.
Okay. I tried talking. Woo! Now I'm about to beat the puberty out of y'all. You ain't gonna see it coming. You ain't gonna see it coming. Come on,
out of your way. I mean, I think, again, like in the other films, it was the Chris Tucker just made up everything that he wanted to say.
Yeah.
So, whether that was good or not, I don't know.
That almost made me smile. That's about the closest I got, I think, to that joke.
And also, after they have this, the fight, I mean, it's just interesting looking at someone so big. His feet must be like a size 20. When you see him stand on Chris Tucker, it's you can't help but looking just for the freaky nature of this guy, can you?
Who is he listed? He must be listed in the credits. I'm struggling to find out who it is.
Yeah, you
I'd like to know more about him.
You would like to know more about him?
Yeah. What else has he been in? Because I thought maybe he was a basketball player or something like that. That had sort of been broken into acting, just the fact that he was obviously Chinese or Japanese, so he could play this part.
His name is Sun Mingming. Born August 23rd, 1983, a former Chinese professional, you got it right, basketball player and actor. He's the tallest professional basketball player in the world and was measured by the Guinness World Record as 7'9".
Jesus. Wow.
7'9". I mean, I know in wrestling they've got like people that are legit, you know, 7 foot, but oh my God, 7'9". What? I mean, that's, I'm not being funny. That's just mental.
That's insane.
If you got the WhatsApp, guys, there's a photo of him I found of him standing next to The Rock, which is quite upsetting for The Rock. I'll just send it over because The Rock looks tiny. The Rock looks about my height standing next to Steve. I'm not exactly tall, but yeah.
Wow. But I like the bit when he walks up to the master and he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "You." I love that stupid conversation. I love that. Then he turns around to the other guy and he says, "Me." And he goes,
"Who are you?"
He goes, "No, I'm talking to you." He goes, "Yeah, me." And I just love that. I just think it's, for me, that's just so childish and immature humour. It works out so well for me.
May I help you?
We'll be asking the questions, old man. Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
I have told you.
Are you deaf?
No, you is blind.
I'm not blind, you blind.
That is what I just said.
You just said what?
I did not say what. I said you.
That's what I'm asking you.
And you is answering.
Shut up. You.
Yes?
Not you, him. What's your name?
Me.
Yes, you.
I am me. He's me. And I'm you.
And I'm about to whoop your old ass, man, because I'm sick of playing games. You, me?
For me. Or you.
And for you.
For me.
But what about me?
Yeah.
It's so good. So good. But yeah, I mean, that's the level of humour that I was at. That's why I found it so funny.
But I think that's the level of humour this film gives, though, isn't it? It's just stupid, stupid humour. There's nothing particularly clever about this film. It's just, it's funny little skits, isn't it? It's a movie made up of skits, let's say.
But you know what you're getting. From Rush Hour 1 to Rush Hour 2 to 3, the tempo doesn't change.
Well, it doesn't change. You know what you're getting. But out of the three Rush Hours, this is definitely the pound shop version, I feel. I mean, not as funny. Mm-hmm. The stunts aren't as great. A slightly worse script, if possible, you know, even though, you know, you're not looking for the story. It's just the lesser of everything especially compared to the first one. It's basically like watered down beer on a student night, you know? That's how I can watch Hour 3. I do like the first one, and I will be saying positive things about the first one when we review it, from what I remember.
I think you often find this, though, with franchises that run too long. Don't you? It's a bit like what I said about Lethal Weapon 4. By the end, it was just too much.
It was, but then I'd say the drop-off with Lethal Weapon 4 was a lot less for me than the drop-off from Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3. I mean, Lethal, I know you didn't like... I enjoyed Lethal Weapon 4, but this... When you got Rush Hour 1 and 2, and this is a fucking the bottom of a cliff. You know, I think Lethal Weapon 4, you could argue there was a decline, but it still felt like Lethal Weapon, and it was still a lot more watchable, I think, than this. But there.
I see what your point is.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about 4, but 4 was, I think 4 was down to age, really, and that's why they probably got Chris Rock in to try and liven it up. But
yeah,
that's why it's so good when you do this, because everyone's a different like point of view. I found that this kind of one was really good, 2 was just equally as good, and I found that it probably just went down a little bit, but it still wasn't much, and it's still enjoyable. I mean, we decided to do this today about, I don't know, 4 hours, 5 hours before we actually recorded this, and I've watched this twice already.
Yeah. Oh my god, mate! I watched it once in 4 different parts because I was getting so upset.
So I watched this, had a break, took the dogs out, and then came back and watched it again. And I honestly didn't have any problem whatsoever. It flows for me well, and it's just so easy to watch. And I like a film where you can just crack on, like you can wash up and just watch a film. You don't have to concentrate on it. And it's still entertaining. This film just gives me that. It's so simple, but it works well for me. The hospital, that's where they go, because they know that shit's going to happen. The stuff from the locker of Soo Young has been taken. And when they go there, they realise that the assassins are there, but they've moved. They've done a Godfather kind of move, and they've moved in from the hospital. And they have a shootout at the hospital. And I quite like this. Again, it was the action, the tempo kind of goes down, and then it's lifted up by this shootout at the hospital. And it's a generic Rush Hour shootout, to be honest. Lots of action, lots of jokes in between. And it done it for me. It kind of ticked all the boxes.
Mm.
But I know it wouldn't for you guys.
Look, it's done. Like I said, it's got good... It's good action in the sense that they're quite clever with it, and they've tried to add some comedy with the bullets not being in the gun and then all that type of stuff. But it's just the same thing cycled out over and over again. There's nothing there's nothing original in this than there was in the first one.
But isn't Lethal Weapon like that, though? Being devil's advocate, where you get Mel Gibson doing angry eyes, or they've done it now.
Yeah.
Now, and what's the difference between Mel Gibson and Danny Glover working well? Is it the writing or the acting? What is it?
Yeah, it was their chemistry was better than these two, because they've tried to make the... I know this is obviously a comedy, but the comedy is exactly the same comedy from number one to number three, and the same jokes have just got weaker.
Yeah, I agree with Neil there, because Lethal Weapon, the first one, you kind of had a theme almost for each film, with the first one obviously being, obviously Riggs being a bit, you know, having a bit of PTSD, etc. To number three and number four, we're getting too old for this shit. So each film had kind of like a theme. Where this one, it's almost like a copy and paste. It reminds me of, do you remember when like you record a VHS, and if you use that VHS to make a copy, and the copy, each copy slightly gets worse. It's kind of like that for this.
Yeah. Very good analogy. Very good describing.
But I'm not being... That's why Lethal Weapon towards the end, and obviously I know you two preferred the last one over the third one, but for me it was so shit, the fourth one, because it was tired. It didn't need to happen, and I think that's generally my opinion of this one, because they've not done enough. Because like you said at the start, Stu, it's literally a carbon copy of the first one. Bad guy is old man, you know who it is straight away, you guess that it's his brother pretty much straight away, and Jackie Chan hasn't got the balls to do anything about it, even though he's a copper and he's, you know, he's just shot his best mate. And it's just, it's exactly the same. They haven't done enough to change what it actually is. And it, so you instantly start, you know, myself personally, you instantly start losing interest in it, because you're like, well, you know what's going to happen next. They're going to have another fight scene where they do loads of cool kung fu and stuff. Then something will happen, so they lose the perp, and eventually they get to him at the end. and that's what happens.
Yeah. See, I'm like a chimpanzee with a set of keys. It just keeps me amused. just keep me amused all the time. And it's weird because one man's like recycling of the same old shit to me is, I'm so pleased they've done it because that's what I like. I mean, they find out, like, for instance, one of the assassins speaks French, which is surprising because you'd think it'd be of like Asian kind of like descent and language. But you know, they get a nun from the church in who speaks French and translates. I thought this scene, the first time I saw it, because I've seen this so many times, obviously the comedy wears off, but I thought this was really funny. First time watching it, Jay, first time watching it for you, what did you think? Like the questioning was very, very funny for me.
It was mildly amusing, especially when they started getting to name calling. It was all right. Yeah. It was one of the highlights of the film.
What about you, Nick?
I thought it got a bit, it was funny to begin with, and it sort of went on for a bit too long for me. But I liked it, I got it, and I think I liked it at the end where Carter gives her a high five and says, it's always a pleasure to work with you, and she's like, anytime, and stuff like that. So they've clearly done this type of thing before, and it's quite funny. But there again, that is a callback to the first one, which we'd sort of look at when we watch number one at some point.
Which callback was that then? Which part was that?
It's where he takes, where he's obviously taking Jackie Chan around, isn't he, to take him off the scent of the case, and he goes into that bar, and he's basically holds up the place saying, "You're going to tell me who this little girl is," and gets Jackie Chan to stand outside, and they're actually mates.
Oh, that's right. It's his cousin, isn't it?
It's his cousin, and he's pretending to be the big I am, but it's actually his cousin. So it's a very similar joke again, recycled.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. So what they do next is one thing that is meant to get the audience gripped, is actually hand the girl over, Han's daughter, over to the baddie, which is always a no-no, and to Reynard. It's funny because, again, they do this thing, and it's very, very similar to the first one. I can't remember the second one, to be honest. I haven't watched the second one for such a long time. But again, they kind of recycle it. But to me, it didn't bother me because it was part of what's going to happen. You expect it to happen. I mean, the bomb goes off, like a pretend assassination attempt on his life. I can never pronounce his name. Max von Sydow, isn't it? Ming the Merciless. That's what I should call him. That's what it'll always be. Ming to me.
He is Ming. So, he's also the head judge in Judge Dredd. He has to do the long walk.
It's one of your favourite films, isn't it?
Oh my god.
Other than Sly being in it, yes, it's quite good.
Oh no, oh my god. Oh no. Fucking hell, it's got worse.
Come on, James. It's a good homage, but you know. Don't get me wrong, it's got some real issues, but considering there was nothing like it before,
it was watchable. It just
exactly.
It shouldn't be called Judge Dredd though, because I know we're not reviewing it. I think as a film, it works really well. If you pretend it had nothing to do with Judge Dredd, it would be fairly enjoyable. I think the fact that they called it Judge Dredd is the big problem with the film. I know that's always sounds a bit silly, but that's the big issue I have with it.
We can review that one day.
Because we've done the Carl Urban one. I really enjoyed that, but that felt
and that's one of my favourite ever films. I'm gutted I didn't get to review that because I love that film, and I get it. And look, the main issue with Dredd, other than the fact it's Judge Dredd, sorry, other than the fact it's old and dated now, is the fact that Sly Stallone's ego took over that film.
Yes,
and that is the main issue with it. But we can get into that another day.
Yeah, definitely. When they get to the airport, they've had a clue that they need to go to a certain place in Paris. And upon arrival in Paris, they get detained by the gendarmes, and they get kind of beaten up with yellow pages. Why is that? Who's doing that? Who's whistling?
Well, it's my child. I'm just going to tell him politely to be quiet. I'm going to... I'm going to have to put it on mute, though. So thanks.
Yeah. Don't incriminate yourself.
So why do they get assaulted when they arrive in Paris?
Because,
who's doing that? Is that Max von Sydow's idea?
I don't think so. I don't think it is. I think it's... Oh, maybe it is. I didn't look into it too much, to be honest. I just thought it was the head of police being a massive dickhead, to be honest. Trying to stamp his authority on these.
Is that
two
the French
version
of Charles Bronson you're talking about? Yeah.
Why were they assaulted when they arrived, Jay? Is it because they're American, or did Max von Sydow do it?
It's because this fucking script is written by a bunch of kindergarten people thinking it's funny. That's why.
I just can't work out why it did it. The next bit is the worst part in this film for me. If I didn't like this film as much as I do, I would destroy this film with George, the taxi driver.
Oh, don't. He's the worst bit of this, isn't he?
He's the most... For me.
Oh.
Yeah? You didn't like George, the taxi driver?
Oh, here we go. Just for everyone listening, this is where James goes against what I say.
I completely agree with you. I mean, for me now, just for you choosing this film, he's my best part of this film now. You're right. I'm gonna be predictable. Yeah. I mean, I'm not being funny. Yeah, his French accent was very good. And he, as a taxi driver, he was the most believable character in the whole film until he got a bit silly.
But it's so weird. I don't understand that. He gets in the taxi, or they get in the taxi, and he hates Americans, refuses to drive them anywhere. And then I don't know if it's like on this immediate journey. I mean, it did make me laugh when Chris Tucker made him sing the national anthem.
Say you love America.
I love America. Please don't kill me.
Sing the national anthem.
Allons enfants de la...
Not that one, man. Sing the American one.
I know it.
Oh, say, can you see?
Oh, see, can you see?
La, da, 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 de, la.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
Not at all. I found it quite odd that the fact that he's there saying, I fucking hate Americans, all you do is bully people, all this type of stuff, and he pulls a gun on him and bullies him into singing the national anthem, and then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I'll drive you around and we're good mates.
So what you have then really is a bit of terrorism linked with a bit of indoctrination there, really, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, it's not good at all. I didn't find that funny. I almost felt cringingly awkward about that whole thing. It was just really bizarre and really strange writing. I didn't get that at all.
Comedy genius, writing genius, to be honest. I thought it was shit. They're looking for... they're looking for what they think is the list, and Chow Cheng, and they go to this casino, which is like a bit of a whorehouse as well, and then they meet Guinevere. And I'm going to be alone on this one, and I'm probably standing in the shadows. I just like the ignorance of Chris Tucker, where he thinks that all foreign people can't speak English, and he sits next to her, and what he says to her at the poker table is really filthy, and she comes back and she understands every word that he says. For me, I like that because it shows his ignorance, which was funny to me.
Yeah, but it's very much his character, isn't it? He's just he's a womanizer, isn't he? He's constantly trying to get laid and isn't generally very successful at it. But the fact is, she likes it.
So, she does like it. What did you think of her character, kind of everything? I found her very cardboard acting. I thought she was more attractive with no hair, which was really strange.
Do you know what? I have to agree with you.
Yeah. I thought she was really, really nice with no hair. She's an attractive woman. And I think the dress she wears at the poker table is absolutely fantastic, to be honest. But to her, she's very cardboard the way she acts. But you wouldn't expect anything else in this, to be honest. You're not going to look for an Oscar-winning performance, are you?
There's nothing Oscar-winning about this film, that's for sure. But other than the comedy, apparently. She's there because, and not discrediting her acting, because she may have been in other things that she was fantastic in, but she's not good at this, and it is the fact that she is drop-dead gorgeous. So,
and Jackie Chan go to the bar and ask for that Guinevere, and it's probably pronounced better in French, but, and he meets this other Asian lady at the bar, and he goes back, and I think that, or Chris Tucker believes this one's a bit of brass, isn't it, that he can go back, and he wants him to get his end away.
Yeah,
I like the fact that he's pretty chuffed, and it is very tropey. It's been done before. That Jackie Chan goes back to her room, and obviously she kicks off and have this fight. And Chris Tucker's outside the bedroom door, thinking that he's getting his end away. So all you can hear is crunching and groaning and stuff like that.
I did laugh at this tropey,
but I just thought it was just good fun. That's all it is. It's just good fun.
That was good film. And the fight scene was good. Again, it was good. It was well choreographed, but it was, you know, it's the same old thing, isn't it? Have cool kung fu fight and, you know, was stupid shit that would never happen, like these legs through the glass table and stuff. But it is funny that Chris Tucker's out there weirdly eavesdrop on his mate, potentially shagging some bird, telling her how to give it to her.
Yeah, that was really weird that he was outside listening as if he could have been getting nailing her completely, and he's outside with a massive smile on his face. That was a bit fucking strange.
You expect Jackie Chan to open the door and he's actually knocking one out?
Yeah, that wouldn't have surprised me.
Yeah.
To be honest, I would have liked that. So they obviously escape from the casino in a hail of bullets like they do, and we go back to George. And they're being chased with people on motorbikes. And they tell George that you're a super spy. And George then convinces himself he is. And he goes from very mediocre driving to driving like Ayrton Senna.
In his Grand Scenic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would never outrun motorbikes ever.
And it's just strange that I can't understand why they thought that they'd get an adult who would not like them to then, even he believes that he's a super spy, and he even tells his wife, who thankfully and correctly slaps him around the face and says, you're just an idiot.
You're just a taxi driver because that's what you wanted to be, because that's what your daddy was.
Yeah. And it's so strange that he believes he is. And it's just, if they would have had someone who was driving and cutting these people up by accident because he was so shit scared, that would have worked much better for me than someone
who believes he's a super spy. They missed. I personally think they missed a really good trick here, a really, really good semi cameo. I know it wouldn't have happened. I'd have loved it had they got the guy from the French film in 98, Taxi, driving the taxi. You've not seen the French film Taxi?
No.
The French film.
Sammy. Yeah. They remade it in 2004.
No, not seen that.
With I think Queen Latifah. Yeah, they remade. Yeah, but it's based on the French film with the guy, and it's obviously infinitely better. It's a really good film. It's 1998 Taxi. He's just a guy. It's kind of like akin to like the Transporter, kind of like. For me, they just missed a trick there, being in Paris and everything.
Well, you're saying it's a better film, even though Queen Latifah was a taxi driver. I don't believe you.
No, not in the original. Not in the original. Queen Latifah was in the remake of it.
That's what I mean.
No. The remake is not. I mean, it's better than this film, if I'm honest. But the remake is not very good. No. The original is really good.
I've seen the poster for it, or actually the front cover of the back then on the DVD, where it's got Queen Latifah with a crazy face driving a taxi. It just doesn't do anything for me. And I like.
No.
I think she's really good. And she's stunning in Hairspray, which I watched the other day. She's brilliant in that. She's so, so good.
No, I really like it. Yeah. I really like in that film where she goes on a holiday thinking that she's going to die and then she doesn't. But I forgot what it's called. It's not called The Holiday. I forgot what it's called now. The Last Holiday, yeah. Have you seen that?
Oh, really?
It's a really nice film.
Yeah.
It's not going to win any awards. I think she's, what she does, she's really, really good.
Yeah, she's stunningly lovely as well. Yeah. She's really, really good.
And she deserves $25 million, unlike Chris Tucker. But maybe not.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. Close that wound up, man. After the George lets them down and they fall out of the taxi, they do get captured by Kenji, who discloses everything like most baddies do, that he's the half brother, that his family was killed by Triad, and then they lived on the streets, and Jackie Chan, Inspector Lee, went one way and his brother Kenji went the other way, and he tells them basically to leave France, otherwise you'll be killed again. there are these hollow threats that are made time after time, which I don't understand why he makes them. You know, it does get a bit boring, but I like this film. It's just, it's a boring fucking fact in this. But they do escape down a fucking dirt chute into the sewers, which must be disgusting.
Oh, why wouldn't it? Yeah. Chris Tucker said it. I'd rather get shot. There's no, oh, fuck that.
Yeah. And you go from here to having a moment, which I've had in every single film, where they have the very heartfelt moment where their friendship's possibly breaking down. There's no other way they can go. They're at a dead end. And it's just awful. It really is tropey. And they have it in this film. And you know it's coming. It's like you're ticking boxes, isn't it?
Well, that's what this film does. We've said this. You keep liking it, but you're not really selling it yourself, mate. To be honest. Because it just keeps fucking ticking the same boxes over and over again.
No, I like this. It's just, I don't need this bit in the film. I love the wackiness. I love the action. I don't like George. I don't like this. Apart from that, there is not one shit scene in this
film. It just came out of nowhere, though, as well, didn't it? Because they were all right. And yeah, they've had a bad time and they're being told to get out of Paris. And Jackie's been found out for not being honest. But then to just turn around and say, to hurt Chris when all he's doing is trying to help him. It was just such a dick move. And
it was
just
really strange.
Yeah, it was. It was just like, hang on a minute. All of a sudden, just being a complete tool.
Yeah.
You know, so,
James, it just pulled your heartstrings, did it?
No, not really. I mean, it didn't. It's the it's the trope again, isn't it? Like the cliche of the two buddies, you know, having issues. I mean, they got no chemistry to begin with, have they? So it didn't mean anything. But there we go. It is what it is.
The weirdest thing out of this scene was when Jackie Chan orders fried chicken because he's thinking of Chris Tucker. Then Chris Tucker orders Chinese food and he looks at Shorthouse from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom on a TV.
And he
thinks of Jackie Chan. I mean, what the fuck is that about? Is that the way he sees Jackie Chan? It's like a 8-year-old boy.
A really annoying one as well.
Because he looks at the TV and does a kind of smile as if he's looking at an old girlfriend in a photograph. It's really unnerving. It's such a strange picture. But, yeah, I honestly don't know. It would have been funnier if it had been ordering food and on the TV they had, like, Drunken Master or just an old Jackie Chan film, you know what I mean?
Oh, that would have been brilliant.
That would have been brilliant, yeah. Or a Bruce Lee film or something like that.
Yeah, rather than showing a little boy on there and he looks really lovely thinking of Jackie Chan. Which is strange, but
my little Chinese friend.
Yeah. Oh God, it's fucked up. As they're out, separate, obviously, he meets Guinevere, which I'm gonna call her because I cannot pronounce her name in French. And she's off to like a show, like a kind of like a burlesque kind of show. And whilst he's doing that, Max von Sydow.
Reynard.
Yes, Maynard. He goes to visit Jackie Chan and talks about the 13 heads of the criminal state and everything. So he's really kind of checking out what's going on and finding out how much Jackie Chan knows. And you learn that his plan was to kill Jackie Chan that evening. Fuck knows why he didn't. It doesn't really make sense. But he couldn't have taken him out anyway. I mean, Jackie Chan would have kicked shit out of this old geezer.
Yeah, I think he was hoping, wasn't he, that the triads that were sent there to kill her would kill him as well. I'm guessing that's how I took it. Because he'd get his ass kicked, wouldn't he? Let's be fair.
Yeah, how much he knew. It'd be wicked to see Jackie Chan kick shit out of him, though, wouldn't it? That would have been awesome. Jackie Chan sees red, just fucking loses the plot, and then kicks shit out
of him. He never would, though.
Max von Sydow.
Too nice.
It will be good. And I think from there, I don't know whether, because it gives him that ticket to the burlesque place, that whether he's kind of setting him up to go there to die. That I wasn't too sure. And I'm probably giving him too much credit to read into things that aren't actually happening.
I think so, because otherwise why would you send him there?
Yeah, that's my thinking, really. And when they go to the burlesque place, Chris Tucker's in his element. He's like a kid in a sweet shop. You got all of these dancers, both of them are extremely attractive. And he makes all of them line up.
Heaven.
It's
absolute
so
heaven.
It really is. But when you look in the mirror opposite, you can actually see their boobies.
Bollocks, oh. I didn't notice that. I'm going to rewatch it.
I did not know that.
I was too busy looking at her asses. Oh, never mind. There you go. That's why broke. You're the pro and your computer broke, and I'm not. So.
That's why my random access memory just fucking melted in my computer.
Yeah. You're absolute brilliance at. Yeah, anyway, I'll stop it there.
But when they go there, they realise that there are these assassins there who are going to go and kill Guinevere, because they think that at the moment they think that she's got the list and that she knows and that she stole it from when she had an affair with one of the triad leaders, that she stole it from him. So at the moment they don't realise that the fact that she is herself an actual walking list. And from there they do like a musical number, which is a lot of noise.
Awful.
It's just terrible. I fucking hate all of the music shit in this.
Yeah, but sorry, that was cringe.
It was, and they do it to, I don't understand the point of it. I don't know why they got Jackie Chan singing. I can understand why they get Chris Tucker singing, because that's the thing he does. He's very outspoken, very look at me. He's the centre of attention. But for Jackie Chan to come down on like a trapeze kind of swing and just singing, it was really shocking. I didn't expect it, but it wasn't nice.
That is awful. The whole scene was horrendous. Chris Tucker's singing was awful. Jackie Chan's bit, it was just crap. It was awful. It was just cringe. I wanted to turn it. I just wanted to press the skip button because it was making my ears bleed and my eyes bleed as well.
I mean, you bought the soundtrack to this, James. I mean, I don't
know. Oh, God, no. I did not. It was, like with you, it was a bit cringe. Chris Tucker's singing was all right, I guess, because it was, the whole thing, I mean,
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's not really a lot you can say, is there?
No.
So from here, they escape and they end up, and they go to the hotel, and to be honest, it's a bit padded out, and they end up at George's place because they've got nowhere else to go. And that's when you realise that George is quite remedial in the fact that he is just a taxi driver, but he does tell his wife that he is some kind of super spy, which I felt really sorry for George, because imagine if you do get a part in a film which is like a multi-million budget film, and it turns out that you're a taxi driver who's just a complete twat. It's a really shit part for him to play, to be honest, and I really wish it would have been written differently.
I don't know if he's ever gone on to do anything else.
I'm not even going to fucking
bother. No, I wouldn't either, because I think he's probably very happy about the fact that he was in Rush Hour 3, and we should just leave him to be happy with that. And he can play the twat, and that's that.
I don't even know whether he is happy with it, though, you know?
Well, he's got paid.
Well,
it might have ruined his career. It might have been a very short career, but at least he got paid.
Yeah. And whilst they're at George's, that's when Guinevere shows them. She takes off her wig, and Chris Tucker starts calling out Crying Game.
Holy mother of Jesus! She's a man! I went to second base with a damn Frenchman! It's the Crying Games! I'm Brokeback Carter!
She's a man. I did like that. I take it that no one else enjoyed that, but I thought that was...
It was predictable, but it was funny. But I'm not being funny. He got pretty damn close to her in the bed before Jackie interrupted her when they were in the hotel. So if he didn't realise that she was a man at that point...
Well, then, even tell Jackie Chan, you put your hand down there and feel to see if she's a man. It's like, Jesus Christ, yeah. She's standing in the room. You know, you can't just do that.
You can check out the pistol or something on it, yeah.
Yeah. So from there, they obviously do the wise thing and then take Guinevere over to Maxford Sydal, to Reinhard, where they've also taken Soo Young. So everyone who needs rescuing, they basically have a fight and fight off loads of baddies and end up taking them to the baddie in the end. And that it's very, very fucking strange. And that's when George says to them that, I can't be a spy anymore, that my wife wants me home, I'm just a taxi driver, nothing more. And you just think, oh God, please stop milking this. Yeah. You've already made him remedial enough. It really doesn't need to be any more. But I can't understand, and I've watched this a few times, I've even looked on the internet, when they have a conversation with Reynard, and she takes off her wig, and he obviously is extremely happy that he's now got old Shushan, for want of a better word. And I don't know his motivations. I don't know who he's working for and why he's doing it. That's never quite explained. Or unless I missed it, I don't really know.
Don't ask me. I couldn't figure it out either. I don't know why he wanted it.
No.
Maybe he wanted it so he could sell it to them, or hold the list for ransom or something like that.
Did you pick up on it, Jay?
No, I stopped counting at this point, if I'm honest. That's one of the films when. The script was so bad. The story was... it's almost like they couldn't even get a simple story right. That's what I felt.
Yeah, cause I think Neil could be right about blackmailing, because he says, oh, look, there's Shay Shen, and says the 13 leaders of the tribes, we finally got it, it's not a myth. But he normally in these films, they actually spell out why they need it. But
yep.
I don't know why he wanted it.
No, so what you're saying is the motivation of the main villain is in this fairly, you know, simplistic film is unknown, really.
All I can think is Maynard is working for Kenji, his brother. That's all I can think. They're working together.
But I'm sure there's a deleted scene somewhere then, hopefully. Or something.
Maybe it's a director's cut, which is 3 hours long.
I really hope not.
We can do that and compare it. So I realised that Soo Young has obviously been kidnapped as well. And they go to the Eiffel Tower for like the final scene, the final battle, which I enjoyed this. I know you two wouldn't like it, but...
No, I thought the fight scene was right. This is the best part of the film.
Oh, wow.
The last bit.
Tell me why you liked it then. I've heard criticisms. What's your liking of this?
No, because this... I mean, this is the only time it felt like a Rush Hour and Jackie Chan film, isn't it? With those fight scenes at the end. I thought... So they weren't great, but it was the best part of the film. I mean, even Chris Tucker getting involved with people that would really realistically kick his character's ass, which was a bit unrealistic. But the Jackie Chan and the brother fight, I thought was quite good. And I thought it was nice, but you knew it was going when Jackie Chan was trying to save his brother as well, on more than one occasion. But the first time, you know, and his brother trying to kick him off, which I thought, oh, it was okay, that was nice, you know. You saw that coming, but...
Yeah, predictable in that sense. I did like when Chris Tucker was fighting those guys, like you said, he would have got his ass kicked, but when they both hit each other with the chair at the same time, that did make me laugh.
It did.
Because he tries to act all like it didn't hurt. And then when the other guy goes down, he's like, oh, fuck me. that did make me laugh. Because that'd be something I'd do. Like, hold it in. Fucking hell.
Yeah. No one's watching now. I can cry.
Yeah, I can cry now. I'm on my own. Yeah. So, no, to me, you're right, James. I think this is probably, it's very well done. It's the best bit, but it just frustrates me that, and I suppose it's good for Jackie Chan's character, but he can never seems to be able to lose it. You know, most people would just say, you know what, fuck this. I've had enough. You can piss off now. I've tried to save your life and you fucking throw me out of a window on the Eiffel Tower. And now you're trying to chop me in half with a sword whilst we're balancing around. And then they're going on the netting, and he still tries to save his life.
But as you said earlier, he's the good guy, isn't he? That's why we love him.
But the worst bit about this was that he makes Jackie let him go so he can fall to his death. And then it doesn't even fall off anyway, does it? It just pings off a little bit, and he quite happily swings over to another ledge.
Yeah, conveniently falls onto another girder, he just kind of strolls away.
If he just held on for two more minutes, he would have been absolutely fine.
That's almost a meme, isn't it?
But it's really good. I like the stunts and the action. The pace is really enjoyable, and even when Chris Tucker goes to rescue Soo Young, And you get that other woman out there. And the fact that in these films, all of them, that she gets her ass kicked as well. And the fact that she gets taken out and crushed in one of those massive wheels.
That was good.
Brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant death. Sick.
Yeah, it was.
Absolutely awful.
And you didn't need to see it either, did you? Which was nice. Because it kept it of 12 PG sort of level.
Yeah.
You knew it happened, but...
I would say, watching this, I hate heights. I cannot stand heights. My stomach turns so many times.
Yeah.
It's awful. It really, really is. But it was a shame because I thought the choreography and everything was really good throughout this until they're on the ledge waiting to escape and they've sent Soo Young down in one of the lifts and then there's another shootout and when they kind of parachute off on a flag from the Eiffel Tower. It's a bad, bad choice.
It's awful, isn't it? The CGI in it is fucking terrible as well.
Yeah.
Isn't it? You can just see it. And then the trope, oh, look, it's ripping.
Yeah.
And then they
shot at the flag rips. And when they land, I mean, they're kind of greeted conveniently by Reinhard. And he's there and he's got a gun. And even now, when I watched it, he doesn't say why he wanted it. They said to him, in your position, you're the head of the crime commission, you should be doing this. But he doesn't say, yeah, but I'm being paid millions of pounds by the triads to actually do this. It never comes out, which is really frustrating. And even worse, when he gets shot when he's about to shoot both Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, and the fact that it's George, and that George is just a member of public who's quite happy that he's finally murdered someone.
Yeah, because he says that, doesn't he? I want to be like an American and kill someone for no reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's really dissing America, isn't it? The fact that they think that their gun controls it. Maybe it's a political statement. I don't know.
It's really strange. Where did George get a gun from, first of all?
I don't know. I don't know what the French laws are around firearms, but I can't imagine you can walk around with them.
And he said he followed them, and all he says is case closed when he shoots them. I mean, he's probably insane. That they've created this monster now that everywhere he goes now, he'll believe that he's a police officer and that if he sees a crime whilst he's driving around in his taxi, he'll probably kill someone.
Well, mate, you've just done the fucking synopsis for Rush Hour 4, haven't you?
They're making a Rush Hour 4 as well.
There are, indeed.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, no.
They're doing the Lethal Weapon 5 bullshit. They're doing the Rush Hour 4, yeah.
You
know, I've always wanted an Avengers-style get-together of buddy cop films.
Oh, really?
If they all got together for one case. Yeah. Wouldn't be very good. but I'd probably watch it. You know what they did with The Expendables, basically?
That would be good. That would be good. I'd watch that. But yeah.
That's
really the end. They then do like some kind of crazy dance to War.
I liked that bit. The nod to the first one. That was good. I liked that bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was torture. I can tell for both of you that was really difficult.
It wasn't difficult, but, you know, it was unfortunately, it was what it was. But, you know, I can't say I didn't enjoy watching it in the sense it wasn't like Shoot 'em Up or anything like that. But
that film was horrible.
It was the worst film I've ever seen in my life. But
Shoot 'em Up.
I didn't review it, but I watched it. No.
Honestly, but this isn't at that level because you had some vested interest in the characters because of obviously 1 and 2. So, yeah, it wasn't torturous for me. So I'll tell you, I'll give you my scores and stuff because I'm already talking about it. So out of 10, I'll give it a 3.
Wow.
I'd only recommend it if you want to finish off the series of after watching the first two, just because you want to complete the series like a pack of football cards. You have to collect them all, or Pokemon. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone that's never seen it in the sense of just a standalone film. It's not worth your time. What are my best bits and worst bits? Worst bit is the script and the fact that you don't really know why this is happening in the fucking first place. And the best bits is probably the bit where he thinks he's Jackie Chan's banging someone and the bit where all the girls are naked.
Blimey. Do you know, this scored, by the way, 18% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Good.
18%. It got 6 and a bit out of... 6 and a half out of 10, I think, or 6.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, it's a shit film. I was shocked at that.
Yeah, and I'm shocked at that. It's shocking.
Some of the comments says, no matter how fast Chris Tucker shoots his mouth or Jackie Chan flashes his fist, they can't recapture the charm of the original Rush Hour.
Exactly.
I think that says it. I think that basically says how I feel definitely about the film in the nutshell.
Quote Lethal Weapon. It says, like Lethal Weapon, this franchise has become lazier and less thrilling with each installment. Hopefully, unlike Lethal Weapon, they'll stop at part 3. But, well, that shows how old that is, because...
Well, there you go. That exactly is what I said about Lethal Weapon 4. They never needed to happen, and this is exactly the same. It didn't need to happen.
On the other side of the fence, you get Wesley Morris, a very fine man, top critic, it says. And it says, this movie makes a fine replacement for the previous two installments. Remarkable, redundant, yet highly entertaining.
So how much of his $25 million did Chris Tucker pay for him to write that?
I don't even think he's clearly a bot, isn't he?
10%.
10%.
What's your thoughts on this, Joe? I've probably got a rough idea of what he's going to score, but what do you think?
Well, I think it's 18%. So, yeah. I mean, I can't even give it a 2 out of 10.
Wow. Honest.
It's like a 1.5 out of 10. Cause
is this worse than Sweeney?
To be honest, it's on par with the Sweeney.
Fuck.
I think I gave the Sweeney a 0, though, didn't I? So it's a bit better than the Sweeney. I think, and once again, like Neil said, the only saving grace is the fact that the other two aren't that bad in like a roundabout way. You know, as a standalone film, it would be absolutely horrendous. It's just horrible. I mean, the other saving grace is it's less than 90 minutes long, which is good.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, Chris Tucker, I mean,
are you rustling on your beard again, Jay?
No, I'm not doing anything.
Sorry, I was rubbing my eye.
He's crying because he's so happy he doesn't have to talk about this crappy film again. mate, honestly, for me, it was the worst film I've seen this year. Easily.
You rubbing your eye again, Neil?
Yeah.
Fuck Christ.
I won't tell you which one.
Jesus Christ, I've got a rough idea with the sound effects.
He's still thinking about that scene with all the can women.
How can you not think about that scene? It's the finest bit.
In fact,
I'm changing my score and it's 10 out of 10 just for that.
It's got Chris Tucker in. I mean, the fight scene at the end was okay. It's probably the one of the few highlights of the film, but I use the word highlight. I want to use it sparingly.
Go on, Stu. Okay. Give us your pearls of wisdom.
I haven't got any pearls of wisdom.
No, you love this film, so come on.
Yeah, worst bit's definitely George, the taxi driver. I really didn't like that. I don't think the... Jesus Christ, it's fucking noisy, isn't it?
Oh, I'm opening the dishwasher.
Fuck's
sake. I'm looking for something, because... Yeah.
Can you look for something like that's really fucking noisy as well?
Right. Okay. Sure. Fine. There you go. I've got a pan out. There you go.
I'm sure everyone who's listening to this podcast really wants to hear this.
No, sorry. I found it now. My apologies.
I'm really pleased.
I'm going to put my head in the dishwasher now.
Fantastic.
Sorry, Stu. You interrupted.
Have a look in the oven, Jay, and see what it's like with the gas off.
To see what it's like with the gas on, and fucking better than this film, I can assure you.
Worst bits is George, best bits is the rest of the film. I think it's a fantastic film. It's going to get 8 out of 10.
What?
What? Are you fucking
Are you
for
serious?
Real?
Are you just
nah,
doing
not really.
That?
It's you, I'm gonna...
you honestly, mate, I honestly thought that you were going to leave it at that.
No, I'll give it 6 out of 10.
What?
Oh, that's still high.
What you're saying, it's over 50%. That's like a C grade.
Yeah.
It's a pass. So you give this film the equivalent of a pass?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No.
I know. Isn't it amazing how opinions differ? Wait till we do Terminate, definitely, which is a load of shit. So.
You really think that?
Not the original, but not the second one. The rest of them are just dog shit.
I'm with you there. I'm with you there. One and two are good. The rest of them, I'm completely with you there.
Yeah.
I can't wait to destroy the last two. I'm gonna get so much angry.
How far are we going with them? Because there is five.
Six.
There's six, in fact.
There's six.
Yeah. Is there?
There's Genesis and Dark Fate as well.
Yeah, we don't have to do them one by one all together in a row, but I do think it'll be nice if we can get them all done this year, because I love the first two. Three and four are meh, and then it's just pure bile for the rest for me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It'll be good. Yeah, as you say, we can spread them out throughout the year and let's see how we do. So, but yeah, it'd be nice to go through them, because I've not seen all of them. I think two of them I've not seen.
Yeah, count your chickens, mate. That's,
yeah, I lose interest. So, but yeah, so that was our review of Rush Hour 3. So I don't know what we're going to do next. If everyone's available, such a wanker. I apologise, everyone, but it's clunky. Fuck.
Sorry, no, I moved. I'm so sorry. I moved the tissue and there was a spoon on it and I didn't see it.
You're such a wanker. Yes. Rush Hour 3 of fucking hosts. Do you know that?
Pardon?
You're the Rush Hour 3 of hosts.
That's right, mate. You're a C, you're a pass, you're fine.
Oh, yeah, but how cordless do I am? So that must mean I'm quite good, according to you.
So I don't know what we're going to be doing next week. I never know what we're going to be doing. I didn't know what we were doing this morning, so.
Well, it's actually going to be one of the Russia films, one of the Terminator, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. That sounds like a plan, but whatever we're doing, we'll all be back next week and we'll all be talking shit, no doubt. So.
Yes.
Excellent.
I was trying to pass my son some milk because it's way past the bedtime, and he said that no, that's not for me now. He said, "Hey, John, are you going to bed? Good night."
I thought he said I'll give Rush Hour 3 a 7.
Yeah, Alexander, what would you give Rush Hour 3? How many numbers? There you go, he said one. There we go.
Good man.
Yes, good man. yeah, that will hear. There we go.
He's on the next film reel cast. Right. He talks the truth.
He does.
go for it. Right, before this gets any weird, I think we'll put this one to bed. Okay.
See you later, everyone.
See ya. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for putting up with us. We'll be back next week. Cheers, guys.